It's time for another great episode of the Ringside Rant with your host from the hills of West Virginia, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, this is RJ.
Sun's out and shades are in. Get your home summer ready with the custom window treatments from Blinds.com. Get a high-end looking without a high-end price on all our most popular outdoor shades and transform your backyard into the perfect weekend oasis with light filtering shades that help block UV rays without obstructing your view. Plus, right now, Blinds.com is offering up to 35% off everything, making it a breeze to upgrade any room in your home, indoors or out. With over 25 million blinds sold and 35,000 five-star reviews, there's a reason why Blinds.com is the number one online realtor of custom window treatments in the world. Whether you do it yourself or have them handle the installment from the start to the finish, Blinds.com makes ordering custom window treatments online easy with free shipping and a 100% guaranteed perfect fit. Sunshine and barbecues are in the forecast. Upgrade your backyard and window treatments with Blinds.com today and enjoy your new view all summer long. Go to the link in the show notes right now to shop up to 35% off site-wide.
Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. We're back and we're better than ever. I'm not going to bore you with singing it. I'm the man with the magical voice, RJ. He is JD, Justin Davis. I'm not going to be talking about smoking meat today because I felt bad last week. I'm like, oh, crap. I'm like, that sounded really bad when I said that. And I'm like, I didn't know it until it came out last week.
Oh, that's okay. I've been called worse. And I did smoke some meat yesterday, smoked a couple of racks of ribs and some chickens all day, and had a good little July 4th celebration here at the pool deck in the Great Hills of West Virginia.
Of course.
And I want to apologize to everyone for being loud last week. I have turned down my mic level and I'm hopefully farther away. We'll see.
Well, it's, you would figure being on the hills, you'd be very, very loud regardless because you're all the way up, but hey. No, that's fine. No, and I looked at, because I looked at the levels last week, and I'm like, I know we were a little quiet. You were a little quiet when we first started. And I'm like,
yeah,
just maybe, I don't know if it was a matter of being too close to the microphone or it was a little matter of the volume being up. I don't, whatever. It's not, I'm sure everybody loves the voice.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
That is Justin Davis.
Hopefully it's back to normal. So we'll see.
Whatever normal may be, but, so this week we've decided to go a little bit of a different avenue. We are going to be, for better use of terms, ranting, but the debut of Eric Bischoff as a anonymous, quote unquote, anonymous general manager of Monday Night Raw, which I had to go back, this is 19 years ago on the 15th of July, which will be next week. It just felt like yesterday. It really did.
Yeah, it's it doesn't seem like it was nearly 20 years ago for sure. But so what happens when you get old, like me and you, RJ? Things, you know, they get away from us.
Yeah, and a lot, kind of like my hair gets away from me. It's running to the back of my head. but no, I think we'll get into it a little bit more in depth in our opening contest. And a rants or raves, obviously, but this was, I think, another try. They were trying for another turning point in the company. This is a year after the almost a year to the day of the whole Invasion Angle pay-per-view. So I think they're basically going to attempt to relive that WCW nostalgic feel of, hey, we're going to throw it out there and see what happens kind of thing. But I think they should have done this a little bit earlier, my opinion, but.
Yeah, it would have been nice to go with the Invasion angle, but, you know, I don't think the timing was right at the time for Eric to go over there.
Yeah. Like I said, we'll get into that a little bit more in depth, going forward into our rants and raves, but I don't want to put too much into it. But next week, we are going to be covering the DDP and Randy Savage WCW feud. So the reason why I'm saying that at the beginning of the show is to challenge one Devin Dowling and or anybody else to submit your questions, because one Money Mike came through in the clutch. Justin came through with six.
He was challenged and he accepted it
all the way, mind you, while he's on vacation in Ocean City, Maryland.
Well, he's doing the same thing on vacation that he does at the house, which is nothing. He says he's an accountant, but he sure has time for lots of fucking questions. So I'm not really sure what amount of work gets done in that office downstairs, which needs cleaned.
Yeah,
and I've talked to you about this before, Mike. I'm coming in there and I'm organizing the hell out of that office. It's terrible. It has papers everywhere. It's fucking awful.
But the real question is, see, this is what I tell my wife all the time, that when she says all your shit is all over the place. I said, okay, I know where everything is. Do you? And usually she doesn't hit me very hard, but just enough to stun me a little bit. I'm kidding. She doesn't hit me. Well, then she can see anyways. That's not good to waste start the show, but yeah, it's funny. I can edit it out. So one thing we can't edit out is Mr. Rich Palladino. So he's slim and he's trim and he's jacked right now. So let's send it up to the ring with him.
Ringside Rant fans, it's the opening contest.
So, Justin, we're coming off the previous Raw doing a 3.7. This one did a 3.8. This Raw.
Wouldn't they love to have a 3.8 right now?
I think they'd like to have like a 1.8 at this point. but it's coming to us from the Continental Airlines Arena in New Jersey there. It's interesting to see that with Eric Bischoff debuting on a Raw is in the Northeast. It's not in the South. They've kind of worked. I don't know if it's on purpose or not, but it's interesting to see it's in basically in the stronghold of WWE country.
Yeah. You know, that's probably a Vince thing.
It's gotta be at that point. Well, probably even more so looking at it now, but, it's funny to see these three eights.
I would say because you're trying to get him over as a heel. So if you introduce him in Atlanta, they might cheer him. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and I think if you go back and watch this Raw, which I implore you guys to do so, the crowd, there wasn't a lot of boos as you would think. There was still, I thought I heard a few cheers in there. Like I said, I may be wrong in that aspect, but I think at this point, the Raw that we're talking about, it's just in a weird spot in 2002. It's towards that back end of 2002. We're just about a month away from SummerSlam 02, which was a Dynamite show. However, the NWO is here, the reincarnation of the NWO with Hall, Nash, and Hogan. Nash is hurt. I'm pretty sure Hall is somewhere probably in rehab at this point. Waltman's suspended. They threw Booker T into the NWO. And I think they're basically trying to plug the hole that has been leaking.
Yeah, there's too many holes in that ship. It's right. Down and under.
But, and I think the fans were starting to really notice it and trying to figure out what the hell is going on with the NWO with this. They came in hot. They did the whole thing at WrestleMania with Hogan and Rock. And then after that, it fizzled out, I think.
Yeah.
Where do you stand with this whole NWO WWE run here in 2002?
It was snake bitten from the start, it seemed like, and it just never got going and never got really over. You know, the fans were cheering Hogan against The Rock, which then kind of flips him to a face anyways. So it just, it was just dead on arrival almost.
Yeah. Especially when you have to, I never got Booker T in the NWO. You're trying to tell me that a lifelong WCW guy is turning his quote unquote, turning his back on his, where he came from, how he's brought up in the company, in the business, and put him in the NWO. With that and so many other things, with the bookings, the way that it's been, the way that pretty much Vince booked WCW talent from basically here in 2002 going forward for another probably 2 years. Even to, you can even consider that to present day if you want. Do you think that this was Vince's way of saying, you know what, F you, Turner?
Knowing Vince, I think he just wants ratings. And he probably thought Bischoff would help with that.
Yeah.
I mean, not as a person backstage. I'm just talking about as an on-air character.
Do you, with him coming in, do you think that this was Eric's debut? Do you think that was a way to basically kick the ratings up? Because looking at it now, a 3.8 now is great. I'm sure everybody wants to do a goddamn 3.8 right now. But we're talking in 2002. We're at the tail end pretty much of the Attitude Era. We're starting to go into the Ruthless Aggression in probably another, what, year and a half, 2 years. At this point, they're basically all about ratings. Is this base? You think with Eric coming in, he's a smart dude regardless. He wants to do what's best for the wrestling business. I don't think he really matters on where he calls home. He just wants to make sure that his brainchilds are heard and seen. Do you think with him coming in, it was just the rating spike that they thought they were going to get?
I think it surprised people. I mean, I remember I was in high school at the time and surprised me when I found out he was on Raw. I think it was meant to help that. I don't know if it was the sole reason. Also, this was the first kind of general manager. They said it was the first. They've kind of done that in the past. We all know, like, you know, Sergeant Slaughter was the commissioner, I guess was his official name, whatever. But bringing Bischoff in as the GM of Raw, I think, was just the right angle. I think it worked really well. And, you know, to have him kind of be the new Mr. McMahon, that heel authority character, that way Vince didn't have to be on the road anymore, was probably the thinking there. Mm-hmm.
And I just think,
I mean,
just
he was still on the road. I shouldn't say that.
But, right. Well, I think they're just trying to make up for their mistakes that they did with this whole invasion angle. Because you're looking at this card right now for the 15th of July, 2002. There's obviously, this is they're strapping the rocket to Lesnar. And they're rightfully so.
He just looks like a complete beast. When I went back and watched this Raw this morning.
Totally.
Just young and like just a young stallion out of the barn, like that son of a bitch can run.
Well, it was funny. If he could ever look smaller, he looked smaller here. He got jacked pretty freaking quick,
mm-hmm.
like bulk wise, like heavier. Obviously, that happens over time, but just look at this card, man. They're really trying freaking hard. There's this whole hardcore thing with Lewinsky. Looking back at it now, it doesn't really age too well.
with Chris Nowinski, knowing what we know now about concussions and all that crap. Not crap, but all that stuff. Excuse me. How can a hardcore championship match end in a no contest? Can you tell me that?
Yeah, that I've always hated that stupid. It's basically the 24/7 title before the 24/7 title. And I hate that. And I hated it back then when they were doing this gimmicky stuff. I think the hardcore championship changed maybe three times or twice at least on that show.
Yeah. But I just, it gave opportunity to some to get on the card to some guys and gals that normally wouldn't, i.e. Chris Nowinski, you know, the Hollies, all that. And it would have gotten them those paydays. You're working at WrestleManias, you're working at major pay-per-views, whatever. You get that payday. I get that. But why? You know what I mean? Like you said, it was a 24, this is their version of the 24/7 title at this time. Mm-hmm. Or the 24/7 is the hardcore, whatever way you want to look at it. But you're telling me you're going to have a hardcore match here and then no contest, which is stupid booking for just over 2 minutes. And three matches before this, you got Tommy Dreamer and Steven Richards going in a Singapore cane match. They're really, really trying to hit home with this ECW feel.
Yeah, and Rob Van Dam's a big part of, you know, Raw at this time.
Mm-hmm. But Ray, and you got the Dudleys, and they're a big part as well. But it's just like, I never, for hardcore matches, for me, it's like one of those ooh matches where you kind of see these people do stupid crap. But I never got it. I know. I realize now that, hey, there's a place for every type of wrestling. And I can try to explain it.
There was some really gimmicky stuff in that angle, too, where Stevie Richards goes, I'll whip out my stick and you whip out your stick. And then Goldust comes in and, like, he's all excited about people whipping out their sticks. And
right.
Yeah.
But I look at it this way. You get guys on camera that normally that the roster was absolutely huge. I don't think the roster in 2002 was probably the biggest it's ever been.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much obviously today with all these freaking releases, but basically 2002 to 2005, we'll say, is probably those 3, 4, 5, whatever, those 3 years there where it was when the roster was the biggest. And you're trying to, you're just throwing it against the wall and seeing if it sticks. And to me, this with Eric's debut here as a general manager, I don't know. I couldn't find anywhere to see if he was anything else behind the scenes, like officially, like as far as a booker or something.
From what I read, his ideas were listened to, but I don't know that he had any real role or capacity back there.
Well, and they pretty much, and I think just like everything else nowadays, it goes through Stephanie and it goes through Vince. And to me, if I were in their shoes, I would listen to him. It's clear what they're doing isn't working. When you have to rely, and it's nothing personally against these talent. When you have to rely on hardcore matches to get your product over, granted, at this time, there wasn't anything going against them like when they had WCW going against them. So they didn't have to worry about getting, you know, knocked down off the top of the mountain. But when you have to rely on that stuff, you have to rely on, what was it, a six-man match to start, or a six-man tag match to start?
A six-man tag match, yeah. I was like, what the hell is this?
To start the fucking Raw.
But I will say, the one thing I did really enjoy about watching the show was just JR and King. Their commentary was absolutely fantastic throughout the whole Raw. I really liked it.
Oh, I was going to say my favorite thing about this Raw was Trish Stratus, but that's a conversation for another time. But
Booker T had Coach do a spinneroonie, and King asked JR, if Coach was Caucasian.
Something else that doesn't really, you know, hold truth and stand up to nowadays. But hey,
yeah.
But that's the thing. Stuff you can get away with 20 years ago can't get away with now. Get away with saying, I should say. But
JR was funny though the whole time. Then when Vince announced, you know, Eric, JR says, or not JR, but King says, I've always liked Eric Bischoff. You know,
of course, trying to smooth himself in there. But I just think that they should have made this better. Why were you going to show him backstage with Booker T?
I know that kind of ruined the
intro. And that kind of, looking at it now, and forgive me, my memory's completely shot. I can barely remember what I did this morning or yesterday, let alone 2002. But why would you want to spoil that? Because I'm pretty sure going back when I watched this, there wasn't anybody else that was seen or shown, I should say, that it could even be other than Shane.
Yeah.
Being shown as a possible GM. They hinted at it saying, Shane, oh, where's the, I just talked to the new Raw general manager and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, why can't, and it goes today too. Why can't there be a surprise? This was pre social media. This is pre internet. Well,
why couldn't you just introduce Eric and then do the Booker T segment after the introduction?
Exactly. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, looking at it now, I'm like, they totally fucking botched this. You're telling me that you wanted a spike in the ratings? This previous week was a 3.7. This did a 3.8. The next week did a 3.8. It clearly didn't spike the way you wanted it to. So you got to figure. And it's nothing. Obviously, it's nothing against Eric. It's the way what he was told to do. And I just think they should have gone it a different way. You say you introduce them at you introduce them at the 9 o'clock hour. Cause I think at this time they started.
Well, they did introduce him at the 9 o'clock hour, but they did the Booker T thing right before it.
Right. But introduce them before that, like you said, and then you do the Booker T thing.
Yeah. They built it up well. The Vince McMahon promo that Vince did at the beginning of Raw was really good. I thought it was really good. He said, you know, there's going to be a new GM. He'll be firm but fair, who won't back down from adversity and will take Raw to higher ground. And he finished with saying, and will give the fans what they truly deserve. So, I mean, it was a good build up. They had it going and then they just fucked it up.
I think they just they pooched it. They really did. And
they had an easy putt. They had a tap in and they fucked it.
Oh, right. just tap it in. Just give it a little tap, tap, taparoo. And they,
I've been known to fuck up some tap ins.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, me too. I don't even bother. Putt's my game. I'm playing. Here's the
Efren, that's not what I mean.
Yes. See, every week we got to get, I think it was Devin Dowling mentioned that he wants a segment called In the Weeds on the Ringside Ramp. He just wants us to go out and just go. And this is going to be the segment, Devin. This is going to be the segment right now. And go into the weeds for 5-10 minutes, which turns into like 20 minutes.
I have a personal announcement to make. As of yesterday, the 3 games over 500 Reds have swept every team in the NL Central. Just a little side note.
You're killing me.
Bye-bye, Cubs. You suck.
Well, are you do you get your tickets for Top Guy Weekend for the Cubs game?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there. Second trip to Wrigley Field.
Now, see, the main reason why I ended up getting tickets for that was because I've never been to Wrigley. I've been to Yankee Stadium. I've been to...
You got to go.
I'm a Yankees fan. And as much as disagreeing to you, I'm sitting there watching the ball games yesterday, right? And I go to their doubleheader against the Mets yesterday. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh, fuck, they're down 8. Oh, they lost 8-3. What the fuck? Okay. Oh, and they lost again. It's like, oh, what? I'm like, I don't know what the hell. I'm like, I couldn't tell you. I'm like, I'll watch more of everybody else besides the Yankees at this point because they're just frustrating. They make me pull my freaking hair out.
We swept the Cubs, and now we get to play the hapless Kansas City Royals before. And then we.
Before the All-Star break, right?
Well, no, then we play Milwaukee. And then the All-Star break, and then we play Milwaukee again after the All-Star break. So we have 7 games in a row with the first place Brewers, which could make or break our season. We'll see how it goes. And that is in the weeds, Devin Dowling.
There you go. There's your segment. And let me steer us back into this just to get one last discussion here before we go to the next segment. The whole anonymous general manager gimmick, we'll call it. Rumor and innuendo says they were going to end up having it being Hornswoggle. What in the blue hell would you do with that? And it's nothing against him personally. That he just does what he has to do.
Hornswoggle, I love your artwork and your little cartoons that you do on ad-free shows. So that's RJ talking shit, not me. I just want you to know.
Kiss my ass. Jesus Christ, fucking burying me. No, but seriously, this whole anonymous general managers thing, they're just
Hornswoggle would have been a little bit of a problem as GM.
How so?
Very, very little.
How so? You're making a short joke, I know, but I want you to explain it. Keep on digging yourself.
I mean, come on. Hornswoggle is the GM. He tries to tell Big Show what to do. Big Show's going to put him in a trash can.
He's going to lawn dart him like Nash, yeah. Like freaking Mysterio on Nitro.
Might eat him. I don't know.
Yeah, might with a nice fine butt of Chianti.
I think Hornswoggle would fit my smoker. I think we could get him fully in there.
Well, he's closer to you than he is to me. He's out in Wisconsin there, kid. But I just never got
now
it.
That I said I wasn't going to talk shit about Hornswoggle.
There you go.
I just said I was going to smoke him in my smoker.
Keep air on yourself. But yeah, I never got it. Why not have somebody in there like a Regal or Bischoff? Bring him in earlier than this and just do away with this crap. Or here's a thought.
Piper. Bring Piper back to be the GM.
But
this was during the days when Piper was talking mad shit about Vince, I think.
This is the thing. Why not? I always thought that Jerry Lawler would make a good authority figure. I don't know why. Maybe it's because his days back running the Memphis territories that he has the experience. He
what about
can
Jerry Jarrett?
He can flip chicken salad. How about Jim Cornette?
Oh, there you Cornette. Go. Now that's a good idea. Cornette that's is the GM.
Give him to do that. But in 2002, he was ROH at that point, right?
Yeah. Drag his ass out. He didn't want to travel.
Who gives a shit? Screw him.
Imagine that conversation. Jim, it's Vince. What the fuck you want? I'm not leaving. We need you too, pal. Fuck you. That's pretty much how that works.
Pretty much. But why not have something like that? They're trying so hard to do this whole nostalgic bullshit. This is pretty much the start of it. Why not bring all these talents in? Lawler, Jerry Jarrett, screw it, I don't care. Jerry Jarrett, Jim Cornette, put Michael Cole into the goddamn mix. Who gives a shit? But see what happens. See who gets the reaction. That's the easiest way to do it. That's why they do this nostalgic crap.
Michael Hayes, that's the GM.
Oh. Backstreet Atlanta GA. Oh. But yeah, it's I don't know. I just thought it would have been a hell of a lot easier if you actually put somebody with some sort of talent in there instead of just being a fucking computer.
Yeah.
But somebody that's not a computer.
Fucking computer.
That isn't a fucking computer. Is Mr. Rich Palladino. So let's send it up to the ring with him right now.
It is now time for Rants and Raves.
All right. Thanks for that. Human Rich Palladino, non-computer Rich Palladino. Rants and Raves this week, Justin. We briefly touched on it last segment is the whole invasion angle. Do you think bringing in Eric would have made for a better angle with him coming in with the whole invasion angle instead of putting Stephanie and Shane in there?
It would have been nice. Yeah. But I just think that, like I said, the time wasn't right. Something, I think Eric was trying to do some other ventures there in that after he left WCW.
Cause he was more in like TV then, right?
Yeah. So yeah, I don't think the timing just worked out, but it would have been nice to have Bischoff. Fuck, it would have been nice to have Sting and everybody else you wanted, but you know, people were liking sitting on their ass and getting paid to do nothing.
Well, see, that's what I hoped. That'll be my aspiration one day to...
like last week when they paid Iron Sheik for like 2 or 3 years just to stay
right.
home.
Just to stay at home and then show up and have a shit match at the 90 Great American Bash, which is you can still listen to right now if you go over to wherever you get here, great podcast. But I think that having Eric there, he would have been able to put some sort of different turn, we'll say, on the whole invasion angle. Obviously, at that point, like you mentioned, a lot of people are sitting home collecting money. And I think at that point, it was best for business at that point. He wanted to, I think, get out, see what else is out there, because obviously wrestling is not always going to be there for him.
I'm sorry, but the invasion angle featuring Chuck Palumbo or whoever the fuck they were, it just didn't work. Sean Stasiak.
Well, but I don't. but the thing is, so I don't think, I don't think that the powers to be at the WWE knew what the hell to do with them. That's where why I think you bring in a guy like Eric Bischoff to corral.
Well, thank God they brought in Palumbo. We wouldn't have had the Billy and Chuck wedding without it.
Oh, exactly. And you, we'll just have to bring Rico up at this point. I think Rico was terribly underrated.
Rico Suave. I like that song.
That's
Rico. Suave.
And that song brought to you by the Ringside Rant. Head over to ringsiderant.wolf4apparel right now to get your great merchandise at this time.
Should have been now, back Razor to the Ramones. Show. That should have been Razor Ramones theme song.
Oh my God. That should that's the next song Efren should do for Mike Chioda. Why not? What the hell?
So I'm excited to see what theme song he's gonna do for WrestleGamia.
Oh, that's coming up. Next week. Well,
yep. That's back to back plugs, Efren, for WrestleGamia. We've given you in 2 weeks. So just send the check to Huntington, West Virginia. I'll send you the rest of the information.
We can, you're not going to pull, hey, it's Conrad and give out, I won't do it. Give out your address over our whole five listeners would actually be
well. I would give it away, but I don't want Devin Dowling and Money Mike to be mailing me questions every fucking day.
don't feel bad. They've sent them to me, even though I put your handle out there, and that's fine. No, don't get me wrong. I absolutely love talking to them. They're great guys, but I'm like, dude, don't even start with it, man. Into the weeds again. Here we go. There you go. There's a shirt right there. I got to start figuring out that something. We have the logo. We can have our very close personal friend of ours, JD Hoop, make up a shirt.
Dear close personal friend.
That too. Make a shirt that has like weeds and like thickets, and just have the Ringside Rant logo in the weeds. There you go. Trademark it, patent it. There you go. Cool. Anyways, wrestling. Yay. But yeah, I think you don't even have to bring him in as an on-screen talent for the whole invasion thing. I think you put him behind the scenes as not as any type of, like I said, on-camera authority figure, whatever. You bring him back there because he knows these guys. These guys and gals know him. That would have made that invasion angle a little bit better. Oh, and yeah. It could have lasted a little bit longer. And I think you would have seen these guys last, you know, guys like a Polumbo or O'Hare, any of those guys, Kidman would have lasted longer. But I just think at the end of the day, this, it only matters what one guy thinks, and that's Vince. And that's pretty much what's kept him going downhill since. Because you're looking at, we're looking at 2002 here. 2002 was, you're starting to see the downward slope, I think, of this company. Because in the next few years, I'd say right when you hit about 2004, 2005, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, 2005, WWE took a huge nosedive, ratings-wise, talent-wise, product-wise. And
this is the rants and raves segment of the show, right? I'm allowed to rant because I'm about to rant on Vince McMahon. Sure.
No, go ahead. But that's why we're here.
Well, listen, this shit about hiring comedians and then firing them because they don't know who Bobby Lashley is. And well, guess what, Vince? Don't hire stand-up comedians to write fucking professional wrestling when they know nothing about it. God damn, you wonder why your fucking show sucks. It's fucking terrible because you don't have wrestling people in charge. Oh, Bruce Pritchard, I guess. That's it. Other than that, Bruce is just trying to wrangle cats. And it's a bunch of bullshit, Vince. Wake the fuck up or quit. Sell it, please. Sell it. It'll be over.
Sell it to Disney.
All right, I'm done.
Sell it to Disney, and then you'll start seeing Charlotte Flair coming out as Snow White, which will probably get up Money Mike all hot and bothered. So we'll just axe that right now.
As long as Charlotte is in the women's main event, Money Mike don't give a fuck about the rest of Raw.
But you're talking about comedians being in the company. There's only one comedian that has any type of relevance that should be in that company, and it's Corey Ryan Forrester.
Well, yes.
Another great close personal friend.
Another dear close personal friend. Me and Corey, the end of that pay-per-view in Jacksonville was a rough time.
Do you remember the end of the pay-per-view? Should that be asked?
Yeah. I woke up and there was a video of me and Corey on Twitter, which I had to take down because it was a little too many F-bombs for one Twitter post.
Yeah, I saw that. Here's another into the weeds. I saw that. I'm like, ooh, that's not going to last too long on ye old internets. And I'm like, Justin, you look a little.
Yeah, we were feeling good by the end of that pay-per-view. That was a long ass pay-per-view, by the way. It wasn't over till midnight.
Well, that because that started at what, 8?
7, 8. Yeah, something like that.
Because I think the pre-show was 7. 8. Yeah. And I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, oh, I really hope that's not what the fucking, and that's pretty much what All Out's going to be in September, I would think.
Yeah. The vendors made a lot of money, at least from my section.
You can drink for me. I'll put it that way.
you're talking about Corey Ryan Forster, the only good comedian type guy that they've ever had is Brian Gewirtz,
right? And then he's making hand over fist. He's working for The Rock right now.
Yeah, fuck the WWE.
So yeah, screw that. No, Gewirtz, as some people would say, ever beat? Oh yeah, yeah, wait, he's working for The Rock right now, so he beat the WWE. But with this whole invasion shit, that would have made more sense. But do you think that by 2005, we're starting to see Eric go basically get fired, quote unquote, getting thrown into a garbage truck by Vince, which the original plan was to have Cena do it. But Eric basically said, no, it'd make more sense if you did it, Vince, because you're basically taking out the WCW trash. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not quoting. But do you think by 2005 it could have been, you know, taken off a life support, the whole Eric Bischoff run as GM? Or do you think that they could have put him, like I said, backstage? And I'm talking officially, everything worked out the way that we're talking. Now, he never came in for the invasion angle. He came in like he normally did here in July 15th. Do you think that if they would have put him backstage would have lasted a little bit longer. His first run with the company.
Yeah, I don't know that Vince just had any interest in that. You know how Vince is. Mm-hmm. He doesn't think he needs Eric's help backstage. He doesn't, you know, he can do it himself. So I think it was strictly a talent role at the time. And I think that, you know, his character just run its natural course and it was probably time to go. I mean, we saw what happened when Vince tried to hire Eric backstage.
Well, but I think at that point, though, I think the blooms were pretty much off the rose at that point. They're basically trying to say, hey, we really, really need fucking help. Let's mm-hmm. bring in probably the one guy that really knows the business outside of Bruce Pritchard, that really knows the business really, really well, that knows TV really, really well. Let's bring him in. And I don't think they gave him enough time. I don't think it was WWE that didn't give him enough time. I think it was the network. And I think it was a sponsor that didn't give him enough time. They wanted their initial pop in the ratings, which they got. They wanted their initial revenue, which they got. And then they wanted that to continue, and it didn't, because people initially saw that first thing and they said, oh, well, fuck it. Who cares?
When it went south, they needed someone's head on a pike, and Eric's head was there.
Right. And I don't think anything we're saying on this episode is purely our opinion. It has nothing to do with what Eric is.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with Eric. He's our topic this week, yes, but it's our opinion. It has nothing to do going farther than that. I think Eric pretty much saw the writing on the wall when he got in there and said, okay, this may be a cup of coffee kind of thing. I don't think he went into it, looking at it now, with any plan of working long term. Yes,
he moved. He moved to fucking Connecticut.
Well,
and you know he doesn't want to be in Connecticut. He likes Wyoming.
Right. But I don't know, man. I just don't think that they gave him the just due. They gave him enough time because they have so many people above them telling him what to do. Then why fucking bring him in?
Mm-hmm. You know, I've already done my rant. I'm staying calm.
This is my time. This is my time now. This is my rant. Why are you going to uproot Eric from Wyoming, uproot Mrs. B, have him drive fucking cross country. And Nikki. I forgot Nikki. I apologize. The most important out of the three, right?
No, Nikki don't want to be in fucking Stanford.
Oh, fuck that. Shit, she wants to chase down fucking antelope in Wyoming. What the hell? It is a female, right?
Yes, she
okay,
is.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I'm like, because Nikki could be a dude. I don't. Anyways.
Now, whether there's any antelope in Wyoming, that's another question.
There could, or deer or something. Well, we'll say deer. Fine. We'll say deer at this point. Where is it? Oh, yeah. You're going to uproot two people and a dog. Have them drive fucking cross country to the place that Eric was gone on record, says he doesn't want to be in fucking Connecticut. And have him basically try to put a fucking Band-Aid on the giant gash that the main roster is and was at that point. And
just call the main roster a giant gash?
Yes, I did. And I know that's going to come back and bite me right now, right in the ass, but I don't care because it was basically an open sore. We'll put it that way. That probably doesn't make it any better, but the main roster was such in a bad, bad, terrible place. And it still is.
Well, you know why it was bad. Bret Hart wasn't on it.
Damn it. Now we're just waiting for the Pond Water Dave segment. God damn. I still say
I gotta get my shit in. No, I gotta get my shit in.
Obviously, but you would think and it's my opinion is, and I know I'm not alone, is Vince McMahon does not like WCW talent. He would rather have them. He'd rather hire him and fire him quicker than he fucking changes his underwear. And that is a terrible analogy. I don't care. But he, and it's proven fact. Look at this whole Sting run in the WWE.
Yeah, that was bad.
And pre-injury, I'm not talking about anything after the injury, whatever, beside the point. You're going to have him, main event, go to WrestleMania, face Triple H. Oh, who didn't fucking see that coming? And just, it was just fucking, you bury the dude for better use. You have him be aligned with a fucking NWO? Did you not watch WCW? You have them on your fucking network. Why would you book him with the NWO or the NWO be booked against him or with him? It would make sense.
You just said the network and my blood started boiling thinking about Peacock. I think all wrestling fans agree. The cock sucks. We want rid of the cock. Bring back the network.
This segment is brought to you by, I'm joking. That's just one of so many different other ways that Vince has constantly crapped on any type of talent that has any remote connection to WCW, to ECW, outside of fucking Paul Heyman, because Paul Heyman is actually attempting to save the sinking ship that is the WWE main roster.
Peacock, can you quit making everything fucking seasons? I had to go back to season 8 of Raw. I'm like, what, or whatever the hell year it was, trying to figure out what year. Like, just put the fucking years on there, Peacock. I hate you.
Down with a cock. But I don't know. I think I pretty much, my rant's pretty much ran its course. See what I did there? Yeah. Oh, thank you. At this point, you are not seeing the video version of this yet. We are now dealing with a dancing, topless Justin Davis.
Yes, we are going sans shirt today for the episode because I'm getting my ass in the pool as soon as this is over.
Literally in the pool. Next week we are going to be going poolside. We're going bash at the we're going ringside rant at the beach.
It'll be like Club La Vila.
Yeah, right, but better. But yeah, I
hope Big Show doesn't fall in my pool. There'll be no more water left.
But one guy that can go in anybody's pool, because now he can, because he's slim and he's trim. And he's going to kick our ass if we don't let him into our pool, is Mr. Rich Belladino. So let's send it up to the ring to him right now.
It's listener questions.
So we just got a fax, Justin. Yes, I still have a fax from Devin Dowling.
Not your beeper?
No. That's, I had to take it to the beeper shop. Beepers are us to get it fixed. And he says that this is shenanigans, whatever that means. I don't know what that means. So Money Mike has 6 questions for us. 6. So obviously he has absolutely no time when he's on vacation.
Money Mike is reclaiming his title as question champion of the world.
Without question.
He's
so the only way
Dowling better kick out, or he's jobbing the Money Mike right now.
Well, Pondwater Dave and come in with like the Von Erich claw or something and just take them both out. Little enforcer. There you go. I told, here's another into the weeds before we get to these questions. I told him about that. I DM'd him. I said, hey, what's going on? I tried to catch up with him and see how things are going, which rumor and innuendo has it that he is coming to Top Guy Weekend.
Uh-oh. Did he get a little ticket?
Yes. So he got a ticket.
I hope they got his bed small enough in the room for him to fit him he likes it.
Well, I'm sure he's flying, so he can fit into most overhead compartments fairly snug. I don't know where I was going with that, to be honest with you.
Well, Iron Roddy's coming to Top Guy weekend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what the fuck was I talking? I don't even know what the hell I was talking about. Seriously, I thought it.
I don't know that Jay-Z will be there to job to him like he did at Loki Big Hog weekend.
I don't think he is. Yeah, I don't think he. I think he's working or something, or going to the beach, or going to the Bojangles factory, or I don't know.
Shining his titles.
Titles, plural. But anyways, we have six questions from Mini Mike this week. His first one, it reads as such. In your opinion, what was the more impactful Monday Night Raw debut? Eric Bischoff or Sean Waltman on Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania 14?
Bischoff.
Oh, without question. It's got to be Eric Bischoff. And it's nothing against Waltman, but I think Eric Bischoff's debut was a little bit more crucial on the business. Mm-hmm. And Stan, if I'm corrected, is Waltman's return after 14 was right after he was fired by said Eric Bischoff, right?
Yeah, Waltman, though, coming back was important because he kind of helped DX keep going when Sean left after WrestleMania 14.
Right.
And this was, you know, Waltman, you know, helped form the new kind of DX with Billy and Road Dogg and him and Triple H and Jaina. But yeah, I mean, him coming was helpful, impactful. I wouldn't necessarily mean that.
I think he was one of those guys, as I burp into the microphone, that could have done a lot more work backstage in a trainer aspect of it. A lot of the stuff we're seeing now that Shawn Michaels does now with NXT aspect of it. And I will sing it from the mountaintop with every Bret Hart mention that you have on our show. I will counter with a Shawn Michaels comment just to piss you off.
Mm.
So anyways,
that's not fair.
Oh, bullshit. Whose name's on the mark? No, I'm joking. But I just think Sean Waltman, a lot of people don't give him credit for what he did for the business.
And he's the only wrestler I know to have a torn butthole injury.
That we know of.
Yes. I feel like Earthquake probably tore his butthole a few times doing that finish.
Oh, he had to. He had to. That just didn't look comfortable. What the hell was it? Was it the after?
What's wrong with him? Vincey tore his butthole. God damn, not again.
Again. But Eric Bischoff, it was a little bit more impactful. Long term, short term, whatever way you want to look at it, as far as the debuts go.
Question number two.
Bret Hart sucks. No, that was just my opinion. Sorry, never mind. Do you think Eric Bischoff's tenure as a WWE authority figure would have been as impactful if he was the SmackDown GM from 2002 to 2005 instead of the Raw GM? Or did it need to be Raw because of the tie in with the Monday Night Wars?
It needed to be Raw because of that. Secondly, what channel was SmackDown on right now? UPN or some bullshit?
The sci-fi or
whatever. It doesn't. It didn't matter.
Was this on Oprah's channel? OWN.
I'm just saying that Raw was at the time. Raw was still the main deal. He's going there.
Well, and I think when you want to pop ratings, you're not going to put him on SmackDown. You're not going. You want to put him where A, the advertisers are going to see it. B, you want to put them where, like I said, where the ratings are going to pop. And you're going to, like you said, you want to put them on a network that actually is going to be around the next year. Mm-hmm. Because I'm pretty sure UPN pretty much fizzled out.
What other musings is Money Mike running around in his little head? What's question number three?
He said, I love the episode of the Ringside Rant with Eric Bischoff. What is one topic you did not get to discuss you wish you would have gotten around to, which I pretty much think this is more aimed towards me because
I get to lay out on that.
This was pre JD. Mm-hmm. So PD PG, son of a bitch.
PJD.
PJD. There you go. I'm a good sayer of words today. Honestly, I would have, the one thing that I've always said with interviews that I've done in the past is I consider it a good interview when I get off the line with somebody, whomever it may be. And I say, oh shit, I forgot to ask this or that. That's basically what I do with Eric Bischoff. And I'm pretty sure if you go back and listen to it in the archives right now, he basically said, hey, anytime you want to, we want to have him back on, he's more than willing and happy to come back on. But the one thing I wanted to talk to him about was this, was the invasion angle. What his thoughts were, more in depth, I should say, on the invasion angle. On basically what we were talking about, Justin, is that what would have he done if he was part of the invasion angle? What would he have done differently? Would he have gone out and brought back the NWO then, or Ric Flair, or Rey Mysterio, and basically put it all out there and see what happens? Because I know they're delaying it, because I don't think Mysterio came into the company until what, 04, give or take, 03? Because they were pretty much out for a couple of years before they even came back. Bring in Lex Luger. I know that's a sore subject with a lot of people, but when you're buying out a company and you want this invasion angle, I would say, hey, you want to bring in the big guns, pun intended. But that's something that I would have talked to him a little bit more about.
Did you ask him if Linda gave any time? Because that would be my main question.
I did not. Because also, I think we all know the answer to that.
And also, did her breath stink?
I would say no. Her breath would. I would see Linda as somebody that would not want to smell. Hey, it's an Owen sighting.
Owen has made a run in.
How's his shoulder, by the way?
Oh, he's all good. He's,
or he's leg. All, or leg. Shoulder. Leg, whatever.
You know, I kicked his leg out of his leg.
Literally.
he's all good.
But no, I don't think Linda would have been one to have her breath smell or body odor or... Mm-hmm. But this kind of went into the weeds a little bit, but hey, that's what the show is about. But yeah, that's the couple of things that I would at this time going back and looking at it and looking at, cause I went back and listened to it again when I saw this question from Mike was, there's just so much out there too. I would have liked to talk more about his, AWA days, more of his early NWA days before Turner took over. Where he was at that point, because coming out, he was a Minnesota dude. He was a Minnesota guy. He was a Michigan guy. He was in that Midwest that was at AWA, NWA territory. We saw a lot of these guys, Henning, Rude, Koloff, Legion of Doom, before they made it big.
Ric Flair.
Exactly. And I would have liked to delve deep because I know there's a lot of people out there that like that old school NWA, AWA stories that it may take Eric a little bit to try to remember because it was a while ago, but I would have probably wanted to dive deeper into that as well. But thanks for that question, Mike. That made me go back and actually listen to that, and I like that. So his fourth, I gotta breathe now. Get a little out of breath here. There's so many freaking questions. No, I'm joking, Mike. So his fourth question reads as such. TNT recently came out with an edict. They did or edit edict. He said edict. So I'll go with edict. Yeah. They did not want any more surprise debuts. Right. What are your thoughts on this and how you think Eric's Raw debut would have been impacted had it been announced in advance?
Yeah, I understand their point, but it's also really stupid not to have any surprises. Just like I said, like we talked about earlier, it was stupid to introduce Bischoff before they introduced him.
Right.
And this would be, I don't know what TNT's big deal is. I understand it was Sting and they were mad they didn't get any, you know, push, I guess, for him coming. But isn't that kind of dumb? Am I the only one that thinks that that's stupid?
Well, but you don't have to necessarily announce him before, but do these vignettes like we've seen in the old school in the 90s. Do these vignettes. You don't have to show.
And like some Glacier vignettes?
And yeah, well, that too. But as much, I'll put it this way. As much as it pains me to give credit where credit is due with a current product, when they reintroduce Carmella, I don't know, like I said, I don't know if anybody out there has even watched or who knows who Carmella is. When they reintroduced her coming back, they didn't show her face. And yet, the internet, the Twitter sphere, if you will, was abuzz trying to figure out who this person was, who this female was coming back or debuting. Do it that way. Obviously, in 2002, it's totally different ball of wax because you don't have the reach like you do now with Twitter, with Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, whatever. Try something like that. Put some sort of vignette on a Raw leading a month. You could probably do it at least a month, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. Put it out in enough time where saying that, hey, vignettes, he's going to be back and he's better than ever. Play along those lines of that introduction with that theme song. Then you're going to have people want to download that song. You're going to have people wanting to search it on the internet. 2002, the internet wasn't as popular, obviously. But do these vignettes like you were so good at doing for all these guys back in the day. Why not do it now?
2002, I was rocking LimeWire, downloading songs a fiend.
Me too. Me too. Because that was that, like, 2002.
And burning it to CDs.
Exactly. And I got to go back. I think my brother has them. I had a freaking, probably about that thick. Huge ass thing. You'd fit like four in each sleeve, front and back, whatever. My mom probably got somewhere. My brother's got them. But anyways, you could do something like that. You have to play into your wheelhouse. There is nobody out there right now that does video packages better than the WWE, bar none. And nobody has even come close. AEW is getting a little bit better, but nobody's ever going to be able to beat the production value of the WWE. And Eric Bischoff and so many people on AFS that have been with that company has said that firsthand, that there's nobody that can even come close to that. And that's why I think they should have done something like that.
Vince is the NASA of wrestling.
Oh, Jesus. Because if you go too high, it blows up in your face.
Yeah.
But, that's how I look at it.
Who said Ronnie Garvin went up like the Challenger? Everyone knows it's corny.
I don't know what to say to that. I really don't. I was going to say something stupid, but I'm like, I'm not going to. Fifth question. We'll do that.
All right.
Hollywood Hulk Hogan was still active in 2002. What do you think would have happened had Eric been brought in as Hulk's manager in 2002 when he came in?
Would have been bad.
You think so?
Yeah, I think that underutilizes Eric.
Well, do you think they could have done like a multifaceted?
And honestly, Hogan doesn't need a manager. He's going to talk for himself.
We had Jimmy Hart, baby. I got beer cans.
Jimmy just stood there and held the weed and the titles.
And his thermos, right?
Probably. I love you, Jimmy.
No, he's a good dude. But I know what could have hurt to have that though?
I just think bringing him in as the GM was the right thing. I just think that, like I said, it just kind of underutilizes Eric there being a manager for Hogan.
But hear me out on this. He was for better use, he was a manager, quote unquote,
of the NWO.
Of the NWO. Why not bring him in as the manager of the NWO
now,
in 2002?
He was going to be like the stable leader.
Be the JJ Dillon. Be the JJ Dillon.
That could be a little different. But I think you'd have to have a strong NWO, and right now they don't have one.
Well, but the, see, that's the problem. When you're talking 2002, a lot of these guys are seasoned, and they're injury prone, because you're talking Nash is out. Hall is somewhere in rehab, I think. So all you have is Hogan. You just suspended X-Pac. And then you got Booker T, who shouldn't have fucking even been in the NWO to begin with, but that's beside the point. Why not have Bischoff and Hogan, looking at it now, be the evolution of 2002? Make a new NWO. You bring in, how about this? This can of worms. Because NWO, we'll say what, three guys? Right? Mm-hmm. Let's make it four. You got Hogan as the Ric Flair of the four of Evolution. I'm not going to say four horsemen. I was going to say four horsemen, but of Evolution. Eric Bischoff is the manager. How about we put Chris Jericho, Chris Benoit, and Eddie Guerrero as the new NWO? Chris Benoit was part of the Four Horsemen, so he knows what it means to be part of a faction. Chris Jericho has been here for a better part of 3 years, so he knows what the WWE is all about. And Eddie Guerrero, you're strapping a rocket to him. Obviously, hindsight being now, everybody's had their demons. I get that. But this is Bayward Fantasy, that book in this. You do something like that in 2002, bringing in Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan and adding those three guys. Kid, you want to talk about pops? You want to talk about ratings? That shit will get your ratings seven ways to Sunday and twice, even more. But that, I think that's being hindsight now, knowing that. But at that point, I think, what the hell is going to hurt? You throw it against the wall, see what sticks in 2002. But that's me. I see your aspect. I see what you're saying, though, Justin, about Hogan doesn't need a manager. Well, 2002, come on, man. What the hell is going to hurt? He's not going to be, for the better use, he's not going to be main eventing a lot of pay-per-views. Why not? But so there's my other rant for the episode. Our sixth and final question for Money Mike. Wait, what is this? Oh, fuck. He just gave me a cease and desist order. He said six questions is too many.
I agree.
Whatever.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
All right. We'll see you next week. See ya. So his final question is Eric Bischoff in the WWE Hall of Fame, if he never has a WWE run and his wrestling career ends after WCW?
Probably not.
You don't think so? You think that WWE run really got him into the Hall?
I think it helped. I mean, maybe, but if he has no relationship with Vince at all post WCW, I'm not sure that he's just going to get put in the WWE Hall of Fame.
I think it would have taken time. Longer amount of time than it did when he just got in this past year. For what he did, there's a lot of gray area with the Hall of Fame, I think, because technically it's not a quote unquote actual Hall of Fame like your baseball Hall of Fames or football Hall of Fames or whatever.
I think it's going to be.
I think it should.
They're moving in that direction.
I think they're moving. I think they said something about Orlando or something. So if you look at it like you look at the Cooperstown or Canton, what you did for the business, I think Eric Bischoff would have been in the Hall of Fame regardless of the WWE run. Did the WWE run help? Yes. But Without Eric Bischoff, WCW run, there would be no NWO. Without the NWO, there would be no Monday Night Wars. Without Monday Night Wars, we would not be sitting here right now talking about the success of a lot of these talents.
I'm having a Monday Night War between the cat and the dog right now in the middle of the living room.
Who's winning? My money's on Gianni.
Well, if Gianni wants to really fight, he'll win, but he mostly just likes to bitch about it.
But yeah, we can't segue anywhere anything better than that. But no, I really think that with that, you have to look at it that way, I think, as on the whole. And did it help? Yeah, but I think they would have done a hell of a lot better if without it, but whatever. That's beside the point. So with that being said, Money Mike, thank you for the 6 questions. You are challenged now to 10. No, I'm joking. We can't do 10 questions. We appreciate, honestly, we really do appreciate Devin and Mike, Money Mike, and asking all these questions, because man, without them, I'd have to stare at Justin for an hour and a half, and God knows there's not too many people out there that right now that can do that and or want to do that. So, that's terrible. That's terrible.
It's your privilege.
Well, of course. And you're welcome. So with that,
thank you. Fuck you. Bye.
Yeah. Dude, and we're out. Thank you, each and every one of you tuning in this week. Next week, like I said, at the beginning of the show, we're going to be going over the WCW feud of Randy Savage and DDP. So I will be putting a tweet out as soon as we get off here to
thinking might be some impersonations next week. Yeah, dig it.
And there will be a new host next week of the Ringside. No, I'm joking. But no, I'll be sending out a tweet as soon as we get off here recording to get any questions out there about the Macho Man and Randy Savage feud. Not Macho Man and Randy Savage feud, because they're the
same
person.
That was a great feud.
that was a great feud.
That probably was a feud going on inside his head. Yeah, the Macho Man versus Randy Poffo.
God damn, I need more sleep. The Macho Man DDP feud. There we go. WCW feud. So I'll be sending it out. So go over and follow us if you haven't already. On Twitter @_ringside rant, as well as on Instagram @_ringside rant. He is @JD2040. You can find us wherever you hear your great podcasts, including the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast Network, Full Press Coverage, and the Visionaries Global Media Network as well. Head over to ringsiderant.whatforapparel. Check out the great merchandise over there as well. It is summertime, gentlemen and ladies. Sun's out, guns out. Go over there, get yourself a nice tank top, support the show as well as going over and subscribing wherever you get the podcast. Give us a 5-star review. We appreciate that. And with that being said, Justin, do you have anything else you would like to add this week?
Go Reds.
Of course you would, you son of a bitch. With that being said, thank you for joining us right here on the Ringside Rant. We'll see you next Friday.